Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, December 5th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
All eyes remain on the ZANU-PF Congress as President Robert Mugabe is expected to pick his two deputies and party chairman, signaling who his possible successor may be.
The opposition MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai dismisses ZANU-PF's claims that the party is working with under fire Vice President Joyce Mujuru to overthrow President Mugabe, but says they are ready to welcome anyone who wants to join the struggle to remove President Mugabe from office.
And residents' representative organizations in Gweru petitioned the Gweru City Council not to hike rates and tariffs in line with its 2015 budget proposal.
The ZANU-PF Congress continued today with delegates attending plenary sessions focusing on the state of the party, Zimbabwe's economy, and the much-hyped economic blueprint, the Zimbabwe Agenda for Social and Economic Transformation, or ZIM-ASSET. Politburo member Godfrey Malawa tells Studio 7 most of these deliberations will be tabled tomorrow before President Robert Mugabe chooses a new leadership without Vice President Joyce Mujuru and her allies, who are said to have plotted to topple the president. The future looks bleak for the deposed vice president and her colleagues, including former party spokesman Rugare Gumbo, a secretary for administration, Didmus Mtasa, and others. Malaba tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube the president is set to choose his team while taking into consideration the unity accord signed between ZANU-PF and ZAPU.
As a Congress, we discussed some of those issues, and we believe that those issues were discussed and exhausted to the fullest and to the satisfaction of everybody who was there.
And what did people say about the state of the party and the state of the economy?
We broke into committee stages whereby people were now discussing in their committees what they thought were not pertinent issues concerning those topics, because each and every committee its own topic that they are discussing, and people are now still in those committees, and from maybe tomorrow that's when we are going to hear reports concerning those topics, and that's when we are going to get the people's views as well.
Yes, and people are waiting for the big day. They are saying the big day is coming when the president will announce the new lineup, you know, for the presidium. So tell us a bit, are people so excited, and who may come out there, you know, to occupy the top post?
Well, that's a prerogative of the president. As you know, the constitution has been amended, and as per the unit accord that's assigned between the two parties. So basically, that's the prerogative of the president, and we're all waiting in anticipation.
That was a Politburo member Godfrey Malaba speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. There is a lot of speculation nationwide on senior ZANU-PF officials who will grace what ZANU-PF calls the presidium, which comprises the president, his two deputies, and a national chairman. Some names being tossed around for nomination to the presidium include Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, who we are definitely going to feature tomorrow, Chris, in one of our profiles, which was supposed to be aired today. And so please stay tuned tomorrow for that profile on Mr. Mnangagwa. And we also have political heavyweights from Tebeleland, including Eunice Sandimoyo and former diplomat Pekezela Mpoko and Simon Kaya Moyo, Women's League Secretary Opamu Chinguri, or outgoing Secretary Opamu Chinguri, and President of the Senate Edna Mazungwe. These are names which are being touted to take over as vice presidents.
The opposition movement for democratic change formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai says it is not and did not work with the under fire Vice President Joyce Mujuru in an alleged plot to overthrow President Mugabe, but is prepared to work with her and others if they want to join their fight to dislodge ZANU-PF and Mr. Mugabe from office. Mr. Mugabe has accused Vice President Joyce Mujuru of working with the MDCT to topple him and has recommended that the party dismiss her. A report by the ruling ZANU-PF Party Central Committee at the Congress has also singled out the opposition MDC as a security threat. The reports read, quote, "The greatest threat faced by the party in the past 5 years was the existence of rabid opposition political parties which were backed by the USA and European Union." The report says to neutralize the MDC, the ruling party should, quote, "not rest as 2018 is fast beckoning." The focus should always be on people-oriented programs and the provisions of agricultural inputs to farmers, especially the less privileged, the report reads. MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that they will remove Mugabe using democratic means.
These allegations to the fact that we are working with the Joyce Mujuru faction are a tired story. We have disputed them before, and let me take this opportunity here and now to vigorously dispute that allegation.
Then there's also the Central Committee report that says your party remains a security threat to the ruling party. Your reaction to this?
That is, again, laughable. We are not surprised because ZANU-PF has always been paranoid.
There are also some ZANU-PF heavyweights who have fallen by the wayside. We are talking about the likes of Rugare Gumbo and others. Is the MDC willing to welcome them to the so-called big tent?
All Democrats are welcome to the MDC. Rugare Gumbo is a revolutionary. He fought in the liberation struggle. His liberation credentials are impeccable. And I do not see any reason why, should he decide to come and join us, he will be unwelcome.
Can we add Mai Mujuru there?
We say all of them. If Joyce Mujuru is going to come and say she wants to join the MDCT, as long as he says, look, I now want to join the MDCT, I want to be a card-carrying member of the MDCT, I believe in the pro-poor policies of the MDCT and in the social democratic template of the MDCT ideology, she is, of course, welcome.
That was MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
And Chris, as we have said, all eyes are on the ZANU-PF Congress. Many people in Zimbabwe have been glued to their radio sets trying to hear of the latest about what's going on as people look beyond President Robert Mugabe. So on the line we have our very own Thomas Chiripasi. Thomas, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Sandra.
Yes, thank you so much for covering the conference. What the Congress in Harare? What is the mood like, you know, in Harare right now?
Right now, people are actually waiting for a solution to the economic problems that they are facing to come out of this Congress that is taking place in Harare. You would realize that some ministers spent most of their time giving reports to Congress on the issues that they are dealing with. I'll give an example that finance minister had to take to the podium today during a closed-door session to explain the impact of the new Zimbabwe coins that are going to be reintroduced this month. So my understanding is that the delegates who were at that Congress actually had reservations about those coins. They were saying that despite the fact that the minister had said in the past that the Zim dollar is not going to be to be retained, this is another way of bringing the Zim dollar through the back door. So people at the conference were really worried about the policy inconsistencies.
Yes, Thomas, we heard before the Congress that there were threats made against some top officials, including Mrs. Mujuru herself, Mutasa Kaukonde, and others. Are they attending? Some of them, we know Mujuru definitely is not there, but what about others? Have you seen any heavyweights there?
The only heavyweight I have seen who is aligned to the Mujuru faction is Temba Muliskwa, from Mashonaland and West Province. Most of them, most of the big guns are not attending this Congress. Apparently, Mrs. Mujuru herself today held a meeting with family members on the allegations of corruption that were leveled against her by the First Lady and some officials in ZANU-PF, including the president himself. So they resolved that they're going to be issuing a statement through their lawyer in the next few hours, but we're not quite sure of the exact time.
Do you know, Frank, where this meeting was held?
The meeting was actually held in Borodale. That is Mrs. Mujuru's homestead, not the official residence in Kisipite, where she stays.
Yes, Thomas, I think it should be the final question. I don't know, Sandy, if you have any questions. Would you tell us what is the general mood of the organization? We have seen previous conferences. There's been a lot of, hullabaloo about the preparations. What do you make of it right now?
Well, it seems like it is yet another talk show. You would find that ZANU-PF has become more undemocratic, so to speak, given the fact that President Mugabe will now have to appoint his deputies and the chairperson. So talking to people on the ground, they are saying that in any democracy, the president should be subjected to an election, and the same applies to his or her lieutenants.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, but there are a lot of issues that many Zimbabweans would want to hear. Hopefully, we will tomorrow, as the curtain comes down on the ZANU-PF Congress. Chris, we continue. We're still with politics. With the leader of the Movement for Democratic Change Formation, Professor Walsh Mingube, saying the current conflict in ZANU-PF has far-reaching consequences for Zimbabwe, as those vying for top posts in the party right now have the potential of changing the country's constitution in the future to meet their political agenda. Mingube tells the Studio 7's Gibbs Dube his party is busy mobilizing its members for a bruising fight with a party which might be headed by ZANU-PF hardliner Mr. Emmerson Mnangagwa when President Robert Mugabe is no longer able to lead ZANU-PF. He adds that his party does not have any immediate interest in working with discarded ZANU-PF members like Vice President Joyce Mujuru and deposed party spokesman Rugare Gumbo.
If these people can do what they've done to some of their own in the manner in which they have done it, what are they capable of against those of us who oppose them openly, directly, and make no apology that they must not be anywhere near power? These are the things that should be worrying us. What is passing for a Congress, a so-called elective Congress, has been reduced to nothing but a praise singing, a fascistic celebration of Thakur.
What can you say opposition parties may learn from what is happening in ZANU-PF? And we are hearing that maybe there are some members of the opposition that want to link up with Mrs. Mujuru to actually form a coalition. How true are all those kind of rumors?
Well, I think it's too early. It's too early to be even thinking about that, let alone talking about it. And my sense is that at this stage, it is extremely premature to even consider that possibility.
And now what would you say to critics who would say, oh, look at who is now talking and is not even taking advantage of the situation in ZANU-PF? What could be your reaction to that?
Well, not knowing what that means, we have always spoken against ZANU-PF. It's very simplistic for people to simply stand up and think that you can take advantage of what is happening in ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF has always been a militarized organization.
That was leader of an MDC formation, Professor Walsh Mingube, speaking with Studio 7 Gibbs Dube from London.
Observers from the international community have labeled the opposition parties as too weak to create any meaningful challenge to the fractured ZANU-PF. However, many also say President Mugabe's strong anti-Western interference message could still give him the edge needed to maintain the support he has while turning many against Vice President Mujuru. For perspective on this, Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalyele speaks with analyst Mwiza Muntali and Ni Akwete from Washington.
Let me start by saying that one of the first issues that South Africa focused on was the liberation in Zimbabwe, when at that time the President Carter was trying to lift the sanctions on Rhodesia, and Trans Africa pushed out a lot to make sure those sanctions stayed in place until the white minority government of Rhodesia really negotiated in good faith with the liberation movement. Now, in a way, the Western world was not as sympathetic to the liberation movements of Southern Africa. It was really the people, whether it's in the United States or in the UK or wherever in the West, that pushed the government to change and support the liberation movement. They went there kicking and screaming. Because for a long time, even though unilateral declaration of independence by Ian Smith started in 65, but the West really didn't do as much or look the other way. And then, of course, in South Africa, they've embraced apartheid totally.
Right.
It took really organizations such as ourselves, TransAfrica, and others, support of the constituencies.
But when it comes to Zimbabwe, that was a different scenario, was it not?
Kind of, because we have to be careful. Because remember, there was the Lancaster Agreement in 79. But before that, remember, there was also this government that was put in place with Bishop Muzorewa, the late Bishop Muzorewa. Movement, when they called it Zimbabwe Rhodesia at that time.
Absolutely,
and,
yes.
And the West had no choice but to deal with the ZANU, because countries within Southern Africa, Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia said, no way, you got to deal with these groups. So it wasn't quite that they had a total blessings per se. And then they embraced Mugabe out of convenience. And then, yes, he was the darling of the West for the 10 years because he embraced IMF policies, World Bank policies, and didn't touch the land issue because under the Lancaster House Agreement, they were not allowed to deal with that issue after 10 years of independence. Yeah.
So, obviously, everything changed after 2000, as you mentioned, the land reform program, etc. President Mugabe has won both praise and criticism for his position on the West. At this point, is this a fragile place to be in terms of the incoming party and how people perceive your relationship with the West?
I think so. This is Ani. I think that it is important because practically all the African countries, and especially in Southern Africa, understood the point about fighting off the colonialists. Okay? So I imagine that Zimbabweans, who may not even care that much for Mr. Mugabe, understood the language that playing footsie with the former colonialists, trying to bring them back in, will be a bad idea. So it didn't surprise me that MDC didn't do well. I'm not saying that perhaps that image painted of them may not have been true, but it is a very powerful image. It would be good for his successor to sort of rationalize the relationship with the West. Cooperate, but don't be seen as being in the pocket of the former colonialists.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Muntali, the vice president, or maybe by the time this story airs, it should be the former vice president. I'm not sure. But yeah. Obviously, President Mugabe and a lot of the others accusing her working with the West. Is President Mugabe's anti-Western message resonating so strong to the point where that could hurt her in terms of her bid for the presidency, if it ever comes to that?
Yeah, definitely would hurt her immensely. I mean, it seems to be not just that, but there have been other stories related to her in the last 2 months which have sort of gotten, brought this to a head. One of the problems that the opposition, MDC, had is that they consistently kept saying they have to talk to people in Washington, which made them seem to be not a Zimbabwean organization, but a foreign organization. Even if they had credible reasons to oppose, it looked like they were taking marching orders, that they were only in opposition to do the bidding of Washington or London. And that's a big, big problem, especially in the context of Zimbabwe's liberation struggle against the colonization, as Neil was talking about. And that's a very, 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 still a very deep, deep issue, especially when you're also talking about land. People may disagree in the manner of which it was taken, but people actually would accuse Mugabe himself of being too slow at the beginning. So yes, groups who are vying for the leadership have to be extremely careful not to be seen as an agent for what some people would call neocolonialism.
Mr. Kwete, I want to get your thoughts on this. Why does the West seem to be such a dirty word, or a relationship with the West seem to be such an unpalatable relationship, when at the end of the day, you realize that even Zimbabwe is pushing for re-engagement somehow, and then you see countries like Tanzania, Ghana, South Africa actually benefiting pretty well from Western countries?
I think part of the answer is style. That goes to the point you are making, that the economic ties with the West are still important, and relationships, which is why all the invited African leaders came here, few sent their vice, but there was no big boycott because they understood the point that you are making, your counterpoint, which is that relationship with these guys are still important.
Muiza Muntali is a former public outreach director of Trans-Africa and also the host of Africa Now. Also on the panel was Ni Akwete of the African Immigrant Caucus. They spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalyelye. Please tune in tomorrow for more from the same panel. Direct from Washington, the
voice of America, VOA. Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe Governor Dr. John Mangujka says the bond coins that will be introduced on November 18 will buttress the multiple currencies that are currently in circulation. Mangujka said this today in Harare at a press conference to unveil the coins whose value will be equivalent to the United States dollar.
The coins will be in denominations of cents from 1, 5, 10, and 25 cents. Mangujka said the coins are worth $10 million that will be injected into the economy from December to March next year. Economic commentator Masimba Kuchera tells Studio 7 that the introduction of the coins is long overdue, as consumers have been shortchanged by the shortage of coins, as they were given small products like candy to make up for the change.
Well, it's a good development if it is encouraging people to spend what they are supposed to spend. What we're seeing is that people were having problems with change, and people were actually buying more than what they had bargained for because of not having change.
But in the past, we have seen efforts to bring coins into the country getting frustrated by retailers who have shunned using them. What do you think will make them succeed this time around?
Well, there's been a consultation process, and according to the RB, the retailers have agreed to use the coins. What is more important is whether the people will accept them. If the people accept them, then I'm sure that they could work. The idea is that they'll have similar value to the US dollar. So it's maybe 1 cent, 5 cents, 25 cents, and so on. The idea there is to realign the pricing models that we have.
That was economic commentator Masimba Kuchera. He spoke on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
For more than a decade now, divisions have been growing in ZANU-PF, with officials lining behind factions allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa as the two tussled for vantage positions in time to succeed in edging President Robert Mugabe. Mrs. Mujuru, whose husband, the late General Solomon Mujuru, was the ZANU-PF kingpin until his mysterious death by fire 2 years ago, had one foot in the door until things started unraveling recently with the entrance of one Grace Mugabe onto the political scene. With many looking on at what is happening at the ZANU-PF Congress, Thomas Chiripasi has got a story for us unpacking who Mr. Mnangagwa is.
To most people, Emmerson Mnangagwa is very feared, but those who know him say he is very soft on the inside, fatherly, traditional, but very cunning, strategic, and calculative, which may have something to do with him being a lawyer. Known in the political circles as Ngwena or Crocodile, Mnangagwa has been in politics since he was a teenager, fighting in the trenches for Zimbabwe's liberation from white colonial rule, spared the death sentence during the Ian Smith era for bombing a locomotive in Mashingo during the liberation struggle. Mnangagwa has long been touted as Mr. Mugabe's heir apparent, but he was outwitted by an influential General Mujuru during the 2004 Cholocho Declaration, in which he was charged for planning to topple Mr. Mugabe. He was humiliated by Mr. Mugabe, who didn't give him the sack. However, but gave him the lowly Ministry of Rural Housing and Social Amenities as punishment. He had previously held the portfolios of State Security, Defense and Justice Affairs. With Mrs. Mujuru being hung out to dry by the First Family, Mnangagwa seems to have an upper hand once again. With First Lady Grace Mugabe announcing during one of her so-called Meet the People rallies that Mnangagwa had previously won more ZANU-PF provinces to become the country's deputy president, some think Mr. Mnangagwa is back in contention as front-runner to succeed the 90-year-old Mr. Mugabe when he leaves office. Born in the Midlands town of Zishavane in 1949, Mnangagwa received military training in China in 1963 before obtaining a law degree from a Zambian university in 1974. He became active in national politics when he was a member of the Zimbabwe African People's Union, or ZAPU, before ZANU was formed in 1963. Mnangagwa was Mr. Mugabe's aide during Zimbabwe's War of Liberation and became the Minister of State Security when Zimbabwe attained its independence from Britain in 1980. Since 1980, Mr. Mnangagwa has held several positions in ZANU-PF and is currently a member of the ruling party's supreme decision-making body between Congresses, the Politburo, holding the position of Legal Affairs Secretary. Some ordinary Zimbabweans and political analysts say Mnangagwa has all the requisite credentials to be appointed Mr. Mugabe's deputy, placing him in a vantage position to succeed him. Director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Pedzisai Ruhanya, says Mnangagwa is seen as President Mugabe's blue-eyed boy despite his role in the Cholocho Declaration that sought to change the ZANU-PF top leadership to reflect Zimbabwe's regional diversity and ethnic balance between and among the country's four major ethnic groupings, namely Karanga, Manyika, Sezuru, and Ndebele, to promote and maintain what the proponents said was representative national cohesion, development, peace, and stability, while fostering a broad-based sense of national belonging and identity, among other issues.
I think Mnangagwa has shown for quite some time that he has undoubted allegiance to Mugabe. From the liberation struggle to the current problems in ZANU, although there was some small fallout in 2004, Mnangagwa quickly reasserted himself as one of Mugabe's right-hand men. You can see his role in 2008 when ZANU lost the elections in March and how he became Mugabe's campaign manager in the violent election. So he understands Mugabe better than many of these people, better than Mujuru.
Ruhanya says there is no difference between Mr. Mugabe and Mnangagwa in terms of their character.
People are saying that he was responsible for Mugabe's retention of power after he lost the first round in March 2008. So what brought Mugabe's victory in June 2008 in the Sham election was cohesion. And Mnangagwa was controlling that cohesion. But the other thing is that Mnangagwa was also Minister of Intelligence in the 1980s when there was Kukurawundi. So they also associated with him, with Mnangagwa. So they see him as a hard man, as someone who uses violence.
Given that, would you say he's appealing to...
to the public, he doesn't.
Others, like independent political analyst Blessing Vava, say Mnangagwa is feared by many Zimbabweans because of his involvement in Gukurahundi massacres in the Midlands and Matabeleland regions. The massacres, instituted by the North Korean-trained 5th Brigade, left an estimated 20,000 civilians dead, according to a report compiled by the Catholic Commission for Peace and Justice. At the time, Mnangagwa was the state security minister. Vava says this has put Mnangagwa's name into disrepute.
Well, the history of ZANU-PF, we all know for a fact that it is a party that has been surviving on corruption, the Willowville scandal, the salary gate. And if you look at the business empire of Emmerson Mnangagwa, surely we can't attribute that to hard work. These are comrades that took advantage of their participation in the liberation struggle, their involvement in government, and to make sure that they acquire huge business empires.
Vava says this has put Mnangagwa's name into disrepute. Independent researcher Jenesani Ntungagwa said Mnangagwa should not be promoted because of his tainted history. But Ruanya says Mnangagwa should not be single-headedly blamed for the Gukurahundi atrocities, saying the blame should be laid on the entire government of that time. Vava says events unfolding in ZANU-PF show that the party has now become undemocratic, whether Mnangagwa is appointed deputy president or not.
I think for ZANU-PF.
Thank you so much, Thomas Chiripasi. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. All eyes remain, of course, on ZANU-PF. I will see tomorrow whether Mr. Mnangagwa will end.